Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey friends, we're going to get started in 1 second. It was super duper fun. Anne-Marie and Sam are here. We're talking the best moments of the year. We had so much fun, but we totally forgot while we hit record to do our housekeeping, which is very important, specifically if you want to know about our new game. So sign up, go to theholdernessfamily.com/newsletter. Sign up for updates, and only people signed up for our newsletter get the super secret top information about this new game and how to get it. And it's very exciting stuff. So holdernessfamily.com/newsletter. On to the show.
Hi, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness, and you're listening to the Holderness Family Podcast.
That is very much not Kim and Penn Holderness, but basically these people do live inside of our brains. So welcome to the show, Anne-Marie Tapke, Samantha Allen.
Yes, welcome to the 51st episode of season 6. This is our best 51st. Of 2023 episode.
We thought we would have... Penn, did you want to say anything?
I'm good. I'm just trying to make sure the audio is okay.
We've got four of us in the room.
And Anne-Marie is kind of Bing Crosby-ing the mic a little bit. Like he's,
hey, can anybody hear me okay? Who's Anne-Marie?
Yeah. So, no, I'm good. I'm going to be the audio tech for this one. I'm just happy to have you guys here.
So, when we were coming up, you know, for our final podcast of the season, of the year, I really had no idea what we wanted to do. So, I said, Anne-Marie and Sam, why don't you make this your problem? So, take it away,
sounds
guys.
Sounds like a January
no
problem.
No pressure. Right, Sam?
That sounds like every day of my life in this job.
And if you are a loyal listener of the pod, you'll know that this was super fun for Sam. Great assignment for her. She does not listen to the podcast.
No, she just... will. She will if we mention her.
So here,
I have a moment? Can I have a mea culpa? Like,
can you introduce yourself for folks who don't and just what you do, and then maybe explain why you don't listen? Okay. Tell us why.
Wow.
We love you, Sam.
I'm Sam. I mostly edit videos. I also design our merch. I've worked on the game. I pretty much touch every other part of the Holderness cinematic universe except the podcast. I just am not involved with it
except for the ads,
and I edit the ads. And I will say that the majority of the topics on this podcast are marriage and parenting, which are two things I don't do.
I thought you were going to say marriage and perimenopause.
And haven't hit perimenopause yet, right. As the millennial of the group, so generally doesn't, you know,
you're not the target audience.
And I would say I do spend my entire workday looking at your faces.
Yes,
that's true.
That's a lot.
So to also hear your voice, beautiful voices.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
it's
I
just,
get it.
If I don't have to,
I get it, Sam. You know I'm just messing with you.
But I just feel like the audience needs to know I'm a hard worker. I'm a good, I'm a team player.
I can, we I do. Can, yeah, we no, love you. Yeah, I can confirm that. So anyone who's on this team is a hard worker. That is, it just kind of comes with the territory. We don't just do one thing. We used to do one thing. Now we do a lot of things. And so everyone in our team does a lot of things. And, to your point, Sam, you do not need to listen to our podcast.
Anne-Marie, totally would fine. You like to just offer a little introduction
oh,
as
yeah.
well?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie Tapke here, producer, writer, manager, and Midwest neighbor.
And
Oh, gosh. So glad to be here with you guys. And I just really love this pad. I've learned so much this year.
Oh, gosh, you're riding the mic so hard. I just need you to back up like a little bit when you're talking. Like, it's incredible.
Okay, can I, it's in almost, my defense, I'm the only one who doesn't have a mic stand.
She doesn't. She
I'm
doesn't,
freeballing over here.
She is you're holding
going,
it.
She's going commando. It's okay. But no, I'm just giving you a hard time.
You're no, she's job. Like literally holding it. We're all relaxing and she's holding a microphone.
You're
and,
like rigid back.
Yes, and she has an excellent posture because she's having
a meanwhile, today. Kim, just like while we're talking, Kim, well, here's how she does the mic. She just will like start talking like this and then she'll just kind of come in right here and then she'll kind of.
I like
the singing in the rain scene.
Yeah.
Yes, it is very. Oh, singing in the rain. That's like one of my favorite movies.
Oh, such a good one.
Such a good movie.
I know things.
You know things. Okay. Take it away, kids.
What a year on the pod.
What a year.
You guys have won an award.
Other.
And the other category, you guys.
You are uncategorizable.
What was it? Was
can't
it
be put in a box.
What was the official award organization?
Other.
No,
other.
Oh. It was. No, but who gave it? The Shorty.
It was the Shorty Awards.
Shorty Awards. We won a podcast award for being other. Yes. Award.
Just real quick. Was it an award or was it an honorable mention?
You guys won like the audience award. So
the
people
audience
voted for you, which so I think is choice. Important. That's important.
Good. We are the people's choice. Thank you. Thank you.
You're people. The people's king and queen.
Thank you, people. That's huge. That's my favorite. Yeah.
I mean, you guys have interviewed so many people. You guys had a woman who was 102 years old talk about how to live a long life. You had Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey.
Matt.
You had sci-fi novelist Andy Weir.
Andy.
Love him.
You talked about what it's like to raise and support teenage kids with Dr. Damore and Dr. Hope Seidel. And we've laughed, we've cried. But like, what else is new? We do that on the daily, right?
On the daily.
If you guys had to sum up 2023 in one word, what would it be?
Do you know what word just came to me?
I'm scared.
Do tell us.
It is, I don't know why you said one word and right away, my least favorite word popped into my
moist.
Moist.
Yes. And I was like, that is not
2023. Would you say this year was moist?
Just really moist.
I hate that word.
Lots of weather activity.
You know, honestly, Colorado would describe 2023 as moist. They had record snowfall in February.
Saying the word moist.
And Utah.
Do you have a better word?
Embiggened.
Tell the regular folk what that means.
So embiggened was a word that didn't exist until 1996 when The Simpsons made a funny joke about how the founder of Springfield said something about how the greatest duty embiggens the largest soul. The teachers were like, that's not even a word. And Webster's Dictionary has since made it a word.
Wow.
It means to make more grand.
Mm.
Or to and I do feel like we spread our wings and did a ton of stuff this year.
Yeah.
Between, thanks to this team right here, we weren't just making videos. We started, first of all, focusing on some of the more emerging social media platforms. We kept doing our podcast. We put out one game and completely developed another game. Mm-hmm. We wrote another book, all while doing.
Very embiggened.
We have embiggened this year.
We have embiggened
this year. And look up the story of embiggened. The Simpsons have actually invented two words, embiggened and cromulent.
What is cromulent?
Perfectly acceptable.
I. Yep.
That's my word. No, yep. I'm kidding.
Thank you. And I think last week's podcast about the whole Christmas jammies 10 years felt very self-indulgent, which is like makes my armpit sweat a little bit. So today, thank you for indulging us in that moment there. And then we'll have some fun.
Yeah, so we're going to listen to some clips and we're going to kind of talk about some things, some questions, wrapping up the year. Now, one podcast I do know that Sam listened to mm-hmm. was the interview with Andy Weir because was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many good revelations that happen in the podcast. And one of the ones I think that we all felt really validated by was the fact that he has massive imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Also, he thinks you guys are super hot. Let's take a listen.
Now, obviously, The Martian had this overwhelmingly positive response that was very validating for me. It made me feel very good about myself. But yeah, it's scary. And, you know, I can read 1,000 positive reviews of one of my books and one negative review.
You're describing my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just be like, ah.
Crushed. You're like, I shouldn't do this anymore. They're right.
Yeah, right.
They're right.
Clearly,
they're onto something.
Oh, and I've got imposter syndrome coming out of every aura of my body.
Wait a second. Yeah. You have imposter syndrome?
Of course.
What?
Please talk more about that.
Please tell me how.
So let's see. I wrote The Martian and it out of nowhere is a hit. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why this book, which is basically a long string of algebra word problems, became popular. So the thing is, I'm a very, very plot-driven author, much less character-driven. But I do consider that a weakness in my writing, that my characters are very flat and two-dimensional. And so I'm always working on that because I think, like, hey, people like my plots. Imagine if I had deep and complex characters to go along with that, how much better my stuff would be, right?
Ken has raised his hand.
Yeah,
right
I'm going to retort, okay. Dude. I'm sorry. And look, we deal with imposter syndrome all the time. We don't understand why people like us. I like it quite a bit.
You're just both pretty hot, I think. That's what it comes down to.
I really hope it's
I'm just gonna play. I'm gonna cut that portion and I'm just gonna play it over and over and over again.
No,
you're both just like hot. I mean,
yes, that conversation like went off the rails after that.
Can I say it wasn't what I was expecting from Andy Weir? That ending, although everything else was everything I had hoped, because he is an idol of mine and yours as well, Sam.
Yeah, I'm a huge sci-fi reader, and I did listen to that podcast. I think the one of the year. I'm sure you said this, but if you haven't read Project Hail Mary,
it's better.
I think it's his best book.
Yeah.
It was my number one read of 2022. So go read that.
It's got an ADHD element to it. We actually talked to Andy Weir about it. Like the alien holds some executive functioning challenges.
Yeah.
So
that was a dream guest, I think, for you, Penn. Mm-hmm. And Kim, I want to talk about, you love putting things into the universe. So what is a dream guest for you for 2024?
Oh.
You're talking to the people in the room that are going to make it happen.
I know.
Do you want me to tell you your answer?
Max, what is my
answer?
Dolly.
Sam, you know me better than I know myself. Dolly Parton.
Because I stare at your face all day.
Yeah, Dolly Parton. I think we actually had an opportunity to maybe, it was one of those things where if you go here to this thing,
you might,
there is a chance that maybe she might also be there. But it was one of those things where we would have been missing, I think, Lola's final tennis match of the season. We would have like had to abandon our children for a week to maybe, and I was almost willing to do it. Well,
and they also wanted us to do a ton of other stuff.
Which I'm willing to do. I will do just about anything to meet Dolly Parton. So Dolly Parton, thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton. Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And I know that you guys are a mismatch in that Kim likes to put things out there in terms of her goals. And she feels like if she says them and verbalizes them, they're more likely to happen. And Penn, you are quite the opposite. You like to keep your goals close to you.
Yeah, I don't secrete.
This is the secret.
Yeah.
Remember the secret? You make a vision board and you say things out loud. Penn calls it secreting. He doesn't secrete.
You're scared that if you say it, it like jinxes it. Is that it?
That's close.
Okay.
I don't like not living up to my own expectations. And when I put it out in the universe, I am de facto setting an expectation for myself and also letting other people know it. So I'm also letting other people down when I do it. So I know that's not, I don't think that there's a single motivational speaker who would nod their head and say, good job, Penn. That's just kind of the way that my brain works. I think most other parts of my brain try to be pretty positive, but when it comes to setting goals, that's something I've tried to work on. And just because I live with my wife, I have made an effort to talk about where I see myself in 5 years, but it's not really my natural go-to place.
Well, you guys had a whole episode on this, and I do want to say, Kim thinks, though, if you did put your goals out there just a little bit, you would have saved her from a string of bad boyfriends.
Holy crap, that's a good segue.
But if you had said, hey, I hope I meet that girl, and we could have met a lot sooner. You could have saved me from a string of Steves. You could have saved me. If I had known that there was a cute boy in Orlando.
You mean if I'd yelled, hey, I'm going to meet that girl to you as you walked by?
Or if you had said it to anybody and anybody had said, hey, I know her, we could have fast forwarded and...
Really? Who were you with?
I was with my boyfriend.
Okay, so that wouldn't have worked.
It was a disaster relationship.
Like, do you think you just would have been like, I know I've been with you for 8 years, but this guy just secreted like, all over me?
Ew. No, we were together for like 6 years, and he was actively cheating on me most of the time.
Oh, bless his heart.
Bless his... No, but I also say, by the way, I just had this conversation. I don't... Like, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy, because I'm actually very thankful for him because the last time he cheated on me, that's when I was like, I got to get out of here. And I moved to Orlando, and so...
You
guys.
You know what's so funny? I'm glad that you talked about secreting before that clip.
Oh, because there was no context.
I know, because I was like, that's the only thing we're going to have to talk about in that clip. But we've done it.
We've done it.
Check the box.
Yes. That was retelling the story of how we first sort of met or came into each other's orbit. And I was at a football game with my cheating boyfriend, and Penn was there working.
And I saw you, and I remembered your beautiful face, and you have no memory of it.
I do have memory of it. You're very tall and handsome.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Aww. So, Penn, I'm going to tiptoe on this, and you can tell me to go take a hike, but do you have any tiny goals that you want to talk about for next year? They do not have to be work-related. They can be like, you want to learn to do something cool in tennis. Pickleball, I mean.
I'm going to put one out into the world, and I'll do this for you guys, and...
Oh, he's really...
This is painful.
If you guys can see his face right
now. I want to spend a sizable portion of next year raising awareness of ADHD. The stigma that surrounds it, the fact that it's not a deficiency, and the fact that a lot of people have it who don't even realize it, and they are living in a world that maybe wasn't necessarily designed for them, but it should not be a source of shame. It is a source of shame. For children, adults, a lot of women who are underdiagnosed, a lot of minorities who are underdiagnosed. And I would like to amplify that message as much as I possibly can.
Slow clap.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
We're here for you.
We're here for you.
I know you guys are here for me. You're like my teammates when it comes to this. Yeah. And I hate setting an expectation, but I want I want it amplified, because I've run into a lot of people who say, thanks, no one ever says that. Why don't they say that?
Well, we actually got a comment on the video we posted today. A mom in France, I think, because apparently in other countries, there is not even the awareness. It's bad here in terms of just like awareness. And but it is in other countries, not only is there not awareness, there's just no sympathy, empathy for it. And just learning differences aren't celebrated, according to this one comment. I don't know. I've not researched this. So maybe we take this international ADHD tour.
That sounds great. Although I would say that other countries are better than us at most things.
Well, they traditionally better healthcare.
Yeah.
Anyway, little nuance. Okay. I love it.
Well, the good news is you're working on the final review of your ADHD book right now, which is really exciting. I know it's been daunting, but it is really exciting to get that in the universe next year. And we had Dr. Marcy Caldwell on the podcast this year to talk more about the ADHD brain and why it's like a fishbowl.
Hang on. These segues are too good. Did you like know I was going to say something about ADHD before
this? This is my stand-up training.
This is ridiculous.
No, it is, yeah.
It's a really good segue.
Segue queen.
I like to think of ADHD brains as kind of walking around as if they're like living inside a fishbowl. So imagine a fishbowl sitting on top of someone's shoulders, and whatever is in that fishbowl is very present for an ADHD brain. So that includes, you know, your keys, that includes your friends, that includes whatever's kind of present. The minute it's taken out of the fishbowl, it ceases to exist. And emotions are kind of like if we dropped a little dye pocket, you know, like those little tabs of dye that we use for Easter egg dyeing, right? If we dropped one of those into the water and it colored the water, then all of a sudden everything becomes that color, right? So all the things in the fishbowl turn that color. And so when someone's really angry, the color turns red and everything's red and it's all red and that's all we can see, all we can feel, all we can be. And then that color kind of fades away or changes a different color, right? Like a different dye pocket's dropped in. And now it's something else completely. Oftentimes when we think about forgiveness with ADHD brains, there's a little bit more, some of it's forgiveness and some of it's just a like, it just disappeared.
So, Penn, what is the biggest thing that you've taken away from the process of writing the book? Or what have you learned? Anything new that you've learned in the last year about ADHD? And Kim, too, you can jump in on this as well.
Yeah, I mean, the underdiagnosis in certain groups, that was really shocking to me. What Marcy just said was really enlightening, too, because you always think about ADHD as executive functioning when it comes to tasks and only having the ability to really do one at a time. But she was explaining there how emotions can become really on and off switches, right? Like you can really only have one emotion at a time. And she found some crazy roundabout way to say it's why ADHD people are better at forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited for the world to read and listen to this book and what the experts have to say. But that was a big takeaway for me, too, just about the emotions of it. And the other thing I learned is that, and it has helped, it doesn't give Penn an excuse. And he knows it's not an excuse, but it helps me understand why if something is not in his vision, if it's not in his direct, like if it's not the one thing he's focused on, it is literally out of his brain. So if I find his keys on top of the car, or I find the milk in, you know, in the cabinet with the coffee cups, I know it's because it literally doesn't exist.
It exited my memory.
It exited his awareness.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't excuse it. It doesn't, you know, any of that stuff. But it helped me understand, like, oh, his brain isn't possible holding, you know, a lot of stress plus making coffee in the morning. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So
I will say, switching gears for a minute, you had a really popular blog and episode around forced family fun.
Yes.
Which I know you guys had some really fun tips for people. And Penn, one of the most favorite parts of a trip you guys took this year was you and Lola getting lost on vacation.
So Lola and I went skiing on our own. Lola's a good skier.
Yeah.
And she wanted to do some more challenging runs. And so I said, okay. As I said, the markings are not great on European slopes. So we took a turn, and then there was one that said either return to this or return to this. The names of the lifts are the same as the names of the runs, but they don't always go to the same place. Don't know why, but that's the case. So I took a right when I should have taken a left. As I took the right, Lola's screaming, "Are you sure this is the right place?" I'm like, "I'm pretty sure it is." So then we look around and we're the only people there.
Bad sign.
So at one point we look in front of us and there is a road.
Like with cars.
And they're in skis. So thank God these are rental skis. I'm sorry to the rental company. Clod hopping. If you've seen Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell and Will Arnett, when they're chasing each other with ice blades and they get stuck on the escalator.
Yeah.
And so we're just kind of clopping along. We cross the street. We're both laughing hysterically. And we keep going down, and we get to a city.
It was not the one we were supposed to be in.
And it's not the city we started in. I saw like a gondola, but this wasn't like the gondola that you take your skis off, you walk up the stairs of like a municipality. Most people were not wearing skis.
They were taking the gondola to like work.
Yeah. And after about 25 minutes, we got back to where you guys were. But like when we were on that gondola, we were equal parts terrified and amused. And it was an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, like if you get lost, as long as you are in a safe place, that's that kind of new experience. And I cannot recommend enough getting lost on vacation.
Kim, how much does Penn get lost on vacation?
Oh boy.
Sam had the joy of traveling with Penn for the first time this year.
I did.
You want to talk about that, Sam?
Yeah, maybe we should ask.
Yeah. So this year was the first time I traveled with Penn, and we had a late flight, and we had finished up the day early. So he said, "Let's just go back to the airport and see if we can get on an earlier flight." Which was great until, you know, we're sprinting through the airport. Mm-hmm. I had camera gear. Mm-hmm. Get to the door. Doors are closed. Okay, there's a second flight. Sprint to the second gate. They don't have any room for us. Then at some point, we finally sat down. We were back on our original flight. We basically spent 3 to 4 hours running through the airport.
To get onto our original flight. Do you know what I think it is about traveling with Penn? Or just being in transit with Penn, is that it's great. And it's why we won the Amazing Race. Mm. He is always in a hurry. Mm. And so there will be times when we're on the highway to get to something that we're early for or there's no deadline for, and he's passing people. He's in a hurry at all times. Whereas I'm like, you know what? Our day wrapped early. Let's go enjoy the city we've not been in. Or let's go to the airport and get a good meal. Like, or let's, you know what I mean? Like, let's take our time.
Let's stay and watch, like we were at a pickleball tournament.
Let's stay and watch some pickleball.
Yeah.
And so like, let's just enjoy, let's take a detour to go see some Christmas lights or something. Mm. He is always in the Amazing Race and he is always in a hurry. And to hear this, like him, this adventure he was telling Lola about Lola is fun. But I would say he's not always concerned with geography and where he's going. But when he's going there, he's going there quickly.
Yes. Well, I mean, I was walking next to you and he was always ahead of us. And I'm like, is this normal? And you're like, yeah. And I had to pee once and I was like, maybe I should hold it because he'll leave me.
He will leave you.
He'll be like, I'll meet you there.
Do you know that like the on TikTok, it's always that Home Depot, like the theme song, and they were showing dads traveling. My view of Penn when travel is him 20 feet ahead of me. And so, in the Amazing Race, you have to stay within a certain number of feet of your partner. And it was, and he's a foot taller than me and just a normal, fast human. I had to run. I was sprinting. He was speed walking. You know, you see those Olympic speed walkers? His heart rate never even got up. It was so bad.
I saw that. I feel like that's why you guys held hands a lot when you were walking.
He was
like
pulling me.
Yeah, I was yanking her.
Offered you a leash, you know, the kid leash. Would you be like, please, can I have one of those?
Yeah. There was, if you go back and look, there was the one in Bonifacio.
Yeah.
Where you asked me to yank you up the hill.
It was one of those things where it didn't photograph well.
Yeah.
But the hill was so steep. And at that point, I was just like,
it looked like I was dragging you up the hill, but you, I kept saying like, this is, she's asking me to do this. And of course they didn't put that in
there. It's consensual.
This is nothing weird.
So that was a fun memory for you and Lola. What was, for each of you, what was your most favorite family memory this year?
Aw, another great, I have an issue, and I need to, like, there's a few things I need to, the reason we do this podcast is for me to basically get free therapy. What is it about my brain that doesn't let me collect memories in the same way everybody else does?
You can, you just can't right now. This is, this month has been bonkers city for you. So you've got, you've got too much stuff going on in your head.
Yeah.
I love you, and you're handling it really well, but that's what's happening.
In your defense, I give all of your guests prep questions. I did not give you any prep questions.
Really, I could probably look through my phone, but I would say, I think there were so many moments where we've been lucky enough to either be on a quick trip with our kids or something, and we always, you know, even if we get two hotel rooms, we always end up in one bed together watching stupid videos at night. And yeah, those, I have some memories of doing that when we went to France because we're all kind of like packed in. And that would, that, that France trip was super duper fun. Thanks, Amazing Race. What about you?
Well, Lola had, like, Lola is a junior in high school who is like going through final exams right now, and she's applying to colleges, and there's all of this
next year she's applying to colleges,
right? Well, she's, you know, she's looking at them. There's a tremendous amount of stress going on in her life right now, and she decided that she was going to have a mental breakdown from all the studying, but it was a funny mental breakdown. So I walked into her room, and she, do you, have you guys ever seen the Three Stooges where the guy's like walking in a circle on the floor with it sideways, like Shemp or like crazy. So I walk in and Lola's like, ah, and she's like giggling and walking in a circle. Like she was managing stress in this really, really funny way.
She's so funny.
And so we started giggling. And to me, like just seeing all that she's been through this year and how much success she's had, I just was laughing so hard at her. And this was like a week ago. Mm-hmm. And she, and I don't know, that's a recent memory that sticks out. And for PC, I'll do another recent one. Like, he's this cute little kid who is, it's pretty soon he's going to sprout up and be my height or at least a lot taller, but he's a late bloomer, just like his dad. And he had this kind of cool basketball moment last week where he doesn't start. He plays limited minutes, but he was playing so well, they kept him in at the end of the game, and he hit these two free throws with like 26 seconds left to tie the game, and eventually they won the game, and he was a big part of the team's success. I couldn't even watch it, and I was sitting next to Kim, and she's like, oh, he's going to make both of these. And I was like, I can't, I don't believe it. She's like, no, we've been working on this in the driveway. Mm-hmm. So I love the connection. I loved the, like, what he did and the connection with Kim, and all that just made me really
proud. Looked over at me and pointed at me before he did it, because I do this game, and I'm like, okay, just because I don't play basketball.
That, honestly, that was your favorite memory, not mine. I'll give that to you.
I don't know. But I'm like, okay, there's, you know, 4 seconds left. You have to make these three thirds or your team loses. And so we just do that all the time. But it's funny, because then he'll airball it on purpose anyway. So it's not... Anyway.
Yeah, you were so confident. You took a video. You sent me a video of his second free throw.
I know. He, in honesty, like a friend took that, because I'm like, if I take out my camera looks over, he'll like freak out. But I don't know. I think we just had so many, cool, and the kids have been through a lot this year. I think everybody, it's not always the highlight reel that you see on the interwebs. Like, they've had some really, I would say, going to Taylor Swift with Lola was the coolest. Like, seeing her watch Taylor Swift come up. Like, I didn't see Taylor Swift come up. I was watching Lola watch Taylor Swift, and that was probably the coolest. But I would say our kids have had amazing moments, but they probably also this year has marked some of the hardest moments they've had as teens. And so it's just cool to see them get through it. So...
Well, we had Matthew McConaughey on the podcast.
Yeah, we did.
Another great revelation. He talked about how, even though he is Matthew McConaughey, his kids don't always think he's that cool.
All right. So you've published another book. It's a best-selling. That's a New York Times bestseller. You have successfully launched a grant initiative to keep schools safe. Do your kids think you're cool, finally? Are you there? Do your kids think you're cool? No teenager thinks their parents are cool. But
you're Matthew McConaughey.
Do they think you're cool?
Let me say, I think I'm still in the bucket of most parents on this one.
Really?
Yeah. Look, I mean, they thought I was cool for a little bit when Sing and Kubo and the Two Strings came out. That bye, that's your voice. I was cool for a couple weeks
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
Had a good run. Okay. Okay. And if we're like rolling through and a movie with their Popeye, Matthew McConaughey comes up, that's not the one they want to watch.
Right.
Okay. So basically, for those listening, there is no hope for the rest of us.
Right.
I mean, so if Matthew McConaughey can't get his kids on board.
Maybe he says stuff like he'll say something and they'll say, Dad, they don't say that anymore. I'm sure that happens in your house, right? You try to say something to be cool and they're like, no.
No.
That some. I've also gotten the, don't give us another TED Talk.
All right.
So Kim, you kind of answered this a little bit, but I was going to ask you guys what, like one thing you've done this year that your kids thought you were cool.
Mm.
So Kim, you kind of took, I knew you would talk about Taylor Swift because that is cool mom points right there.
Yeah. I think our kids, the number one question we get all the time is what do your kids think of all this? And I think that first of all, we are not Oscar winners with, you know, buildings being lit in our honor. So we're not even to that level. I think our kids don't even on a day-to-day basis, because they don't see us make videos. They don't physically watch the process. So I don't think they even have an awareness. And it's not like they have a lot of social media. But in the daily life, I think I got major cool points for Taylor Swift. Yeah. What do you think, Ben? Was there a time where our kids thought we were cool?
No. I'm trying to, like, I don't know. I'm just going through it. And the Taylor Swift sounds good.
I think Lola saw this on a clip of this podcast with Matthew McConaughey on Instagram.
Oh, so having Matt McConaughey made
she's
us
like,
cool?
How did that happen? I was like, well, he published a
question.
Book. Great question. And when you publish a book, there's like a PR company that reaches out and they're like, but you got, I think she was like, but why you? And I'm like, I don't know, honey. I don't know.
Back the curtain. We like, even like a minute before the pod started, we were like, is he going to call in? Because like, we'll probably get stood up for this.
We had very low expectations. It was great to see him. And it was very early, I think, where he was too. So.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But I do remember, I don't remember what video it was, but I had edited a video and PC was, I think, home for the day. And so he was watching it at the kitchen counter and getting his laugh was like just the biggest approval for me. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm like, it's not his audience, but man, getting a PC laugh is just gold.
Yeah, they are. I think they are very proud of us.
I just remember the one time that I think the kids thought I was cool. I think at some point this year, they're both obsessed with Friends.
Yes.
And like, I think Jennifer Aniston commented on a couple of our videos. And they thought they were like, I can't believe that just happened.
Or liked a video.
Or they liked
or something.
Her social media manager.
Again,
it probably wasn't her.
Yes.
But I'm not going to tell my kids that if they think that I'm cool for one tenth
of a
second.
I know. And I think Lola may have been in a video that got liked. And she's like, oh my. She was like, yeah, that is very cool. Yeah.
Well, circling back to Taylor Swift.
Mm.
New news!
New news!
You got some new little news? New Heights reference there. We did a lot of songs about her and her budding romance with Travis Kelce.
You should probably get to work, but instead you are doing this. Analyzing all these pictures of Taylor and Travis like, oh my God, look at his face, staring at her, and just in case, one hand under. One on top, oh, like a football that he doesn't want to drop.
And you also did a full episode on the pod about singing the news because people did enjoy you talking about real-time current events. And your most favorite one you did was the Netflix song about the DVD's ending.
Okay, do you want one more?
Yes.
Okay, here are our choices.
Okay.
Okay. Netflix red and white male DVDs are finally... making a final trip.
You know why I'm laughing?
Why? Because your brother still gets them. I know.
He does.
Sweet Dale. Still gets the DVDs.
I was riding up with him to a concert the other week, and he was like, yeah, I got my last DVD sent back. And I'm like, what?
I know. He's so traditional. I love that guy. Or there are rumors, babe, that Taylor Swift may be at the Jets game to watch Travis again. So
okay.
So but we don't know. So like, this will come out on Tuesday. This will have happened on a Sunday. So it's like.
So we should do DVD.
So yeah. So that's just a rumor. So we could do the DVD one, or you could predict try to predict the future.
You think I want to do that to the Swifties? I want to mess with Swiftie Army? I'm not patronizing Swiftie Army.
They're powerful.
I have a member of them in my family.
Oh, I know.
And she would not like it if I played God. Okay, and so tried to AP speculate News, what was going to happen.
This is something from AP News. Netflix DVD by mail service bows out as its red and white envelopes make their final trip.
That's unbelievable.
The curtain is finally coming down on Netflix's once iconic DVD by mail service. A quarter century after two Silicon Valley entrepreneurs came up with the concept that obliterated Blockbuster video stores while providing a springboard into video streaming that has transformed entertainment. Obviously, DVD service has been steadily shrinking since the streaming service. Fewer than 1 million recipients who still subscribe.
That's more than I think.
A million
like
people. A million people still have DVD players that work. So it's been 10 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yep.
What do you got, babe?
So this one, I'm just like, just know that I don't, this one I'm most proud of.
Okay.
So we're going to see how it goes. Here we go. Ready, guys? Goodbye, DVD, and Netflix says delivery, the movie mailing service, it's about to stop, yeah. Who still gets DVDs in the mail? Well, I guess my brother Dale and a million other people watch it and put it in their mailbox, yeah. Well, it seems to me they live their life like it's 2010. Before you could stream absolutely everything. Still dealing with the scratches and the scene skipping. Technology died out long ago. But you still mail it in.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
That was a masterpiece.
That was from a podcast where you were singing the news. You have this really cool talent that you can do that, Penn. Good job.
So, guys, what was your most favorite song that you've put out this year?
Oh.
For both of you. Actually, we all could answer.
Yeah, I'll answer.
Go around the room.
Yeah.
Kim loves being put on the spot for most favorite.
Yeah, what's yours, Anne-Marie?
I think mine's a tie. I really enjoyed, I will tell you, I loved the clown's song at Halloween. Laughed so hard the way you were like, clowns! Like, just something about your voice was so hilarious to me.
We were mostly
clowns.
Blood red lipstick.
Clowns.
Lifeless eyes.
Clowns.
Our dad did our makeup.
Clowns.
This one is with McDonald's fries.
Clowns.
I also like, I thought you did a great job executing the Eminem rap. I thought that was a really big hit.
The pillow ones, yeah.
People say you better lose yourself in the music and live in the moment. Adventure waiting, so let's go. You only get one shot to express yourself on a pillow. So go ahead and read way past your bedtime. Better not go a day without music or forget this photo. It's of the city of Bordeaux. You only get one shot to express yourself on a pillow. Unless you get a wooden sign to go with it. Oh, my.
First of all, Amory wrote a huge chunk of that Eminem song. Yeah.
That was hard.
And it was your idea. So that was thank you for saying I executed it well, but you did a great job writing that. And I have a good team that helps with those kinds of things. I think everybody here touches the songs in some ways when it comes to writing it.
Except for me.
No, you do.
You and I. High five.
No, I disagree. I disagree because we'll put the script out and you'll say, eh.
So the Halloween one.
Yeah.
I came up. I'm like, should we do something about like, oh, how did we survive 80s Halloween? And then that's the easy part. And then you wrote something and I said, I don't think that's it. And then we kind of workshopped the idea.
The clowns.
And then got user generated stuff. And then you wrote to that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if Sam doesn't like it, I don't do it because she's the tastemaker.
She's the tastemaker.
Yeah, so, she's cringing it. It's not happening.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the list right here, and I feel like, I don't know if we're calling it Daddy Can't See or Big Reader's Energy. That I think when you have like this really like rap song with just the like
dorkiest topic, it just works so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also, I mean, for me, the memory of being in an enclosed bathroom with a smog machine and the lights.
Trying to production of it. Yeah.
The production of it is just like, it comes out looking really cool, but the reality is like we're four people in a bathroom.
Yes, with the smoke
with a smoke machine. Yeah. And I remember like holding my breath so I didn't start.
Yeah. Daddy's almost 50, he can't see. Look at those ridiculous glasses he needs. He needs them even more at night. Forgot to turn off the cell phone light. Daddy's almost 50, he can't see anything closer than 2 feet. He doesn't even realize he can also change the iPhone text size. Yeah, I also enjoyed, I think, the Halloween. I just the evolution of what happened to get it, which is frustrating because we are such a small shop. And then to you spent a lot of time working on a version that I said, I don't think so. And it kind of hit the cutting room floor. And it's kind of when you lose days of work. So I kind of liked the evolution of that. And also you wrote like a Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift one. And that was really funny, too. I liked that.
Thanks, babe.
But you've done a lot of more originals this year, which I've been such a fan of.
Yeah, those are a little harder to write. Full transparency, they're a little bit easier to put on the internet these days.
Yeah,
with copyright claims. Yeah, I enjoyed the clowns one. My favorite one, honestly, was really early in the year. Was when, and especially anytime I can get my son involved, even though we shot his entire bit for this video in literally 35 seconds. I looked at the clip. It was 35 seconds long. I'm like, you have 35 seconds before you go to school, shoot this. And it was when Alanis Morissette was telling him to put the dishes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I like just, he killed it in those 35 seconds. The video doesn't work without him. So mm-hmm. Also, I just love Alanis Morissette. So that was probably my favorite.
Oh, Welcome to the Club was another fun one.
That was a fun one to shoot. We had actors.
Yep.
We were at a club at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. Yeah.
There's something about, I think this was Anne-Marie's idea. There's something about the drug deal for Advil that just...
Oh, gosh.
That just was... It was a really quick bit, but every time I see that, I lose it. I'm like, we're doing a drug deal for Advil.
I was like, go with me on this one.
Yes.
It's going to look like a drug deal, but it's just for some, you know, we got a little inflammation. Welcome to the Club. You got a lot of house plans, and you gave them all names. This is Susan. This is new to you. You like what's up with this? Why do we have so many supplements? We live it up. Welcome to the club. You'll be on a vacation with people, and instead of like, hey man, you got any...
obviously did not participate in a lot of drug deals because I don't think that's how they would come down.
You got
it's
any
like an 80s movie?
Anybody know drugs?
You guys got any lewds or whatever? But it'll be about 2 a.m. We'll be like, hey buddy, you
got any Advil?
You guys got any Advil on you?
You just have a leave? I think a little Tums.
Yeah.
guys got any anti acids? Yeah, but seriously, that's the conversation that goes on at a club at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I just thought that was really funny.
Who's at a club at 1 a.m?
Oh God.
Do they really? I mean,
don't look at me.
They even open that late?
I don't know.
I realize I'm the youngest in the group, but I'm not the clubber of the group.
We're in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I saw somebody, maybe this person was visiting Raleigh or something, but they were talking about like Raleigh is lit and they're showing downtown, and I recognized the street he was on, and there was lines out the door, and I was like, oh wow, people leave the house at
good
midnight?
For them.
There's a whole nightlife scene.
I know. No, I have zero awareness of that.
Or interest.
Or interest.
Penn, you write a lot of original music, but I don't play any instruments that I can't also sing. Do you like when I send you voice notes? My a cappella voice notes.
Can we
that I do in my closet?
Should we release
their voice notes?
Can we play one of them?
It's a deep cut right there.
Can we? What was? I feel like.
So the best part about it is that she's doing it, and her idea is fantastic.
Yes,
it is, and she is not. She doesn't have any of the stuff that I have, like the karaoke version or any. She doesn't have like a fancy mic. What she does have is chutzpah
and enthusiasm,
and also
enthusiasm.
Also, she does kind of try to like sound like she thinks I would sound if it was her singing.
I do,
and it's unbelievable.
It's mom's holiday uniform, bum 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 bum. Comfy sweater, bum 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 bum. Fancy sweatpants, bum 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 bum. Cozy house shoes, bum bum bum. It's mom's holiday uniform, bum 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 bum. They don't look like sweatpants, bum 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 bum. They're actually sweatpants, bum 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 bum. They're fancy sweatpants, bum bum bum. It's mom's holiday uniform.
Also, my favorite is the unedited Steve chat. Are we allowed to talk about Steve's?
Oh yeah,
his audio.
Audio bits. So you'll send me the track of Steve screaming.
So yeah. Steve is Anne Marie's actual husband.
He is my real husband,
and he plays you never see him.
He's the guy on the other side of the fence in Home Improvement.
Yeah, so yes. You'll never see him, but that is his actual voice in the video. When she appears as the Midwest neighbor, and the tradition is that she's always walking off going, "Hey, Steve," and he misunderstands her. Mm-hmm. So
we found out early that he can't stand too close to the microphone, right?
Right.
Yes, yeah. You can tell from the clip that they are in
in our driveway. Yeah, we stand up the ends of the driveway.
He's gone to the end of the driveway, and she's like, "Okay, this is your line," and he screams it, and then she's producing him as well.
I give him
notes.
You
hear a kid, and you're like, "Hold on, Dad's screaming for a minute. We'll be inside."
And also, Amory's really close, so it sounds like, "Okay, Steve, say it now."
What?
Okay, say it again.
What?
No, you need to be
more
louder.
Easily.
More easily.
Does he love getting notes from you? Does he love that? Is it good for your marriage?
He's a good sport. He's a really good sport. It's fine for our marriage because it's like I'm holding my finger up, like it's this much of a little ask, and
yeah,
he likes being in it. It is funny, if anyone ever recognizes me, he's very quick to be like, "And I'm Steve," and they're like, "Cool, man." Anyway,
oh, it's not weird. Steve. It's not weird.
Poor Steve.
It's not weird.
Shout out to Steve.
Great guy. I love Steve.
Bye, Steve.
Bye, Steve.
Okay, guys, one of my most favorite episodes, and I know we're getting towards the end here. Thanks for sticking with us. Was Kim, we had this episode about how well do you know your partner?
Mm.
And we found out what kind of animal Kim was in that episode.
If Kim was an animal, what animal would she be? If Kim was an animal, what animal would she be?
Because we all know Penn's a golden retriever. Yes.
Correct.
He knows the answer. Everybody,
I'm trying to frame it the right way.
And he's trying to frame it the right way because he knows what the answer is.
Kim is a cat.
I know. I'm a cat.
Kim is a cat.
I'm
not a cat person, but I married a cat.
I'm grumpy.
That wasn't the direction I was going
in. I like to just lounge and be alone.
That part's true.
And I get a little judgy.
Okay, hang on. That's not where I was going with this. I think she's very introspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, first of all, she has beautiful big cat eyes that I love.
Good save.
She is not immediately going to come over and lick you to death, but she's loyal once you get to a certain point, and that's something that I've noticed about cats. So she has the loyalty side. She's very intelligent. She's whatever she's thinking about, it's probably a lot deeper than you think. So I think that in a lot of ways, she's a cat. And thank goodness I'm not, you know, allergic to her like I am to cat hair. So that's good that she's a cat without cat hair.
Yeah. At first, I think I was the person that made that, you know, realization. Because at first I was like, am I a chihuahua? I'm like, no, chihuahuas are kind of loud and barky. I'm like, no, I'm a cat. Like, you could leave me alone for days. As long as I have food and water, I'm fine. And it's like, and honestly, just a box of cereal. I'll eat cereal three times a day. I'm a house cat. Yeah. Like, don't put me outside.
Yeah.
No,
you don't
I'm
like
a house
snakes.
Cat. No, I'm not like a go get the snake and mice cat. Yeah. I want my fancy feast. I want like a really hygienic litter box. And then I'm good, you guys. Just leave me alone. Yeah. I'm a cat.
Just cat.
I love this.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. So when you really like someone, you just kind of you lightly just brush up against them.
I'll circle around your feet for a sec and then I'll go away. And then I'm like, that means I love you.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to comment on that because I think I've worked with you guys for 4 years now. I think I could count on one hand how many times we've hugged.
Oh, we hugged today.
We hugged today, which is huge. Happy holidays to me. Well, like I'm a, you know, my love language is touch. So but I'm respectful. I'm not going to hug someone that doesn't want to. But I never doubt for a minute that you don't care about me. It's like, you just got to.
Mine's touch too. Why don't we hug all the time? Or do I hug you a lot? I mean, I probably do. I'm a hugger.
You hug me too. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the circling around, it's so true. Like, it's so spot on.
Yeah, it is. And it's so interesting that even with my kids sometimes, I'll definitely, if they walk in or if they walk in the room, but I notice this trait in them. Sometimes they don't want to be hugged, but then sometimes they have to ask for a hug. Mm. They'll say, like, can I have a hug now? And so I have to, it is interesting. I don't think their love language, maybe PC, he's like a little bit of a snuggle bear. Like, his love language might be physical touch, but Lola's is, she's so much like me that I am like, it's now an appropriate time to commence hugging. Like, it's like very.
Please commence hug.
Please commence hug. Yeah.
So, Kim, you are a house cat, mm-hmm. and Penn, you are a golden retriever, which is fun. I learned new things. I didn't know that Kim was a cat.
What about you guys? What are you?
Oh, geez. I'm probably like a squirrel or something.
Come on, a squirrel? I mean, I don't hate squirrels. We have these fascinating squirrels in our backyard right now.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. I'm just gnawing at the pumpkin in your backyard. Yeah. That's me.
I have in a previous job interview, someone asked me what my spirit animal was.
Which I think is like out of, I think it's, you're not supposed to say that anymore, by the way.
A spirit animal. Oh, sorry. You mean, it's canceled.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
what is your non?
My
soul.
What my is soul your, animal. Yeah. Well, all I could think of and my favorite animal is a sloth.
Yeah,
I do love sloths. True,
but I don't recommend saying that. I didn't get the job
because they're like, oh,
because it's
like,
the oh, slowest so moving animal.
Don't do anything. Yeah. I'm like, no, I sleep. Love to sleep. Love to hang from a tree.
Sloths are not. They look really nice. I've met a sloth.
We held one.
They are not super nice. They have really long nails and they can scratch you.
They eat corn on the cob and they don't eat it in a really clean, hygienic way.
Okay, this is just going really badly. So we need to find a new animal.
Yeah, you need, you are, what are you? Yeah.
First of all, I think Anne-Marie is like a Westie.
Yeah, you're like a high energy dog.
I have a Westie as a dog. I probably, being realistic, I probably am a human corgi. Like, I have the same, like my cheddar. Arms and my legs cheddar. Are the yeah. same length, and I have the coloring, their hair. I feel like I'm kind of, I can vibe with a corgi.
And corgis are like classic, like, small dog who think they're a big dog.
Perfect.
And that's literally you.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't mind sloth. I think sloths are getting a bad rap.
One thing I will say about sloths is that they preserve their energy. If they're going to come down the tree to get food, they make a plan to get. So I'm like a planner. I get things done
yeah.
and then get back to bed as soon as possible.
Okay, sloth.
So that's fine, right?
I need a positive spin on the sloth here.
That's right.
It needs but then a I'm glad you didn't get that job because then maybe you wouldn't have got this job.
That's right.
What was the job for? Oh, is there an NDA?
No, I mean, it was just a straight up marketing job. Were it was marketing like healthcare
okay.
and like boring.
And you weren't interviewing for this job while you were working for us, were you?
No. Oh, thank my God. No.
I'm just trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
You can interview.
I'm sorry, Sam.
You're allowed to leave. It's fine. Well,
so in the spirit of learning new things about each other, last question. What new things did you learn about each other this year? Penn, what was something new that you learned about Kim?
Mm.
Whoa.
This is so going deep.
I really should have prepped them on these.
Next time I will send a prep doc.
Oh, was it this year? Yeah, I think it was this year. This is freaking crazy. I was talking about my childhood and about how I played the piano, but only for a couple of years, and I got pretty good at it. And and like I'm like Kim, you know, Kim's good at everything. She was, you know, was a nationally ranked dancer or something, and she, you know, obviously won the Amazing Race. But I would just mention it, and she's like, "Oh yeah, like I played piano because my grandma taught piano or whatever."
And then
I won like this state award for the best piano player, and I'm like, "What?"
But I was 9, and so there's not a lot of competition when you're 9.
Okay, or 8. And this is what she did. She deflected on it, but she's won more piano awards than I have.
But then I stopped.
The person who plays the piano.
I stopped.
Yeah,
I've never seen you play a piano in your entire life. I bet you would sit down and be like.
No, I would not play the piano. What have I learned about Penn? I think through the writing process of this ADHD book, I'd have a better understanding of his brain. And again, it has led to some good conversations because he's not using any of it to excuse behavior. But I think once you have an awareness of an understand, you can understand it and you can be offer empathy. And he also has an awareness and is working really hard at, like, you know, getting things done. So I think I've learned a lot just about ADHD and how its brain works.
Nice poll.
No, it's true. No, I've learned a lot.
Thank you. No, I'm just saying, like, I know we started this podcast. I think that you were being asked to, like, access your ROM memory, and it was, and you're like, your computer's heated up now. Your memory's fantastic. You're
look
there.
You.
I know.
I think you're, like, more relaxed now.
Is there something about what happened? Like, I don't have really, really clear memories of my childhood. Like,
that's probably stress too.
I think
trauma.
Maybe a dash of trauma.
Touch of the trauma.
But trauma. I think at one point somebody had pitched, maybe we should do a podcast of, you know, childhood memories versus this. I'm like, we can't do it because I don't have childhood memories. Hmm. I have some like really clear glimpses. And then other than that, like, you could tell me something. I'm like, oh, cool. Or I'll see a picture and I have no awareness of who I was with, what happened. Yeah. So,
well, that's why I always note it, because you actually do have an excellent memory. You really do. I think that there's parameters around it, and we don't have to get into it in this podcast, but your memory is one of the best parts about you. Like, you, I think you have, like, a great emotional memory. You know what I mean? Like, you remember how people were feeling, and it helps with the way that you are to them, and it makes you easy to be around because you,
but it's so weird when I'm like around, like, I'll get flashes, and I'll, like, even this weekend, I had just like an epiphany of, I'm like, oh, this is why I'm this way. I'll get flashes of something that'll have happened in my childhood. And I'm like, oh, that explains so much. But I also have no real inclination to do a deep dive in therapy over it.
But I will say, this is like the one thing I do know. The fact that you're having flashes of it means that you feel that you're in a safe and secure place at this point in your life.
Yeah.
To remember that stuff.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Therapy, whoa, man.
Therapy. I love therapy.
Dr. Sam in the
house. No. I love therapy for what's happening now, but I don't know how.
It's intense.
Yeah. I don't know how much I want to dig, because I feel so happy where I am now.
Yeah.
So, like, why?
Would digging help me?
Yeah, and I don't think not. It would. And I had, like, parents who loved me. There was, like, no abuse, anything like that. Like, it wasn't dark like that. So, like, it just, you know, nobody escapes with a few bumps and bruises. Anyway, that went dark. It was supposed to be really fun. Best of the new year. Kim's childhood trauma.
Well, I will say, while your memory's great, Penn's is not so great, as in, I've probably told him 3 times in the last year that my favorite restaurant is. It's a board game restaurant.
Oh.
And last week he sent me a picture of him inside the restaurant with,
he's like,
you should try this restaurant. You'd be so into it. And I'm like,
hang on, what do you call that restaurant?
The Kitchen Table.
No, it's Relish. That's the problem.
It's two restaurants by the same owner. It's two different restaurants.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, there's the rub. Okay.
So Kitchen Table is the one.
Yeah, I remember you saying, is that where I was last night? I thought I was in Relish.
No, at the bar, you were at Kitchen Table.
But
you pick up your Relish orders in Kitchen Table. This
you were
is
two places in one.
Okay.
But if you guys are in Raleigh, you should check it out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Guys, if you love board games, Kitchen Table.
Yeah, okay. If I, that was the problem.
That was the problem.
Sorry, Sammers. I thought it was called Relish.
It's okay.
I told my family I was getting dinner at Relish. Love you too.
Well, we're so grateful for you guys, and I'm really glad we could all gather here today so Sam could learn more about the podcast.
It sounds really interesting. Maybe, I don't know.
Check it out.
I'll check it out if I have some free time. I don't have a commute, so when am I supposed to listen to it?
That's true.
Well, thank you for being so thoughtful and picking these clips and asking you asked really good questions. Maybe this is a format we should explore. Anne-Marie and Sam come on and ask good questions.
You ask great questions and I just sit here and...
Yeah, you're the personality hire.
The segues were ridiculous.
And I'll send you a prep doc.
Yeah, no, I like it.
The segues were great. And then, so do you want to do this while we're recording or after we're recording? Do you want to gloat about how you got the time exactly right? Or do you want to do that later?
What are you talking about?
Because I told you before, I'm like, this is going to be too long, and it's exactly 1 hour.
Okay, well, I did self-edit my plan, because I did have 2 more clips, but I didn't feel like they were going to add any more to the episode, so.
Okay, good. Well, so,
but you're right.
I say,
I'm saying you're right. Well done.
I want to say thank you to Anne-Marie and Sam for all the work and just love and support you show us throughout the year, and for getting all of these crazy ideas onto the internet and giving us your ideas and just sharing your lives with us. So thank you. I'm going to give you big, I'm going to circle pleasure. Your feet and go away, which circle means I love you.
Big moment. Circling of the feet.
Circling the feet. She really cares. She likes us. You she guys. Us.
No, we love you guys. We're yeah. really proud of you guys. And I know you just had your 10th anniversary, and it's just been a great ride.
So fun.
So we're glad so that lucky. We're on this train with you.
We're on the train and we're not getting off.
Burp, burp. Burr, burr, burr. Next stop, 2024.
Ooh, and then we get to do a New Year's resolution.
Oh, get ready, Pen. Get ready. Get your
resolutions ready.
Take your deep breaths.
You know what that
get
sounds like to ready. Me? That sounds like a January problem.
Oh, that's what I've been saying all day today. I'm like, that's a January problem. Your electricity might get shut off. January problem. No, it's not that bad. Anyway, okay, love you.
Bastard.
On holiday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.